Today we're thinking about faith and how we take steps of faith. And I want to link that with a sense of calling, because I believe that God calls us all to do different things. And the calling he places on my life will be very different to the calling that he places on your life. And I believe that he brings things into place in my life to prepare me for the things that he wants to call me to do next. Does that make sense? And I think if you look back over your life, you can often see that God has prepared you today to do something which actually something happened to you many months or years ago that it made today seem real. And I want to share with you something which has happened to me just recently. You see, I think God speaks to us through Scripture, and I'm very glad about that, and I love to read Scripture. And I want to share with you this morning a real incident that happened in Scripture that hopefully can help our faith. But I think God speaks to me as well through nature, and so I see his faithfulness in nature. I see his provision. I see his mercy. I know God is a compassionate God, because in people I see him and God speaks to me. But I have to say that God speaks to me through music and words. And there's a song which I was listening to probably about 3 years ago when it probably first came out. And the words have haunted me, because I believe that God's Holy Spirit has used these words to communicate with me. And this is what they are. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in ocean's deep my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. Where oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. And the chorus says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. And that line that says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, just keeps coming back and haunts me and says, what does that mean to me today? What is it to allow my trust to be without borders? And sometimes we want to keep things in a very safe place, don't we? And so we do the things of service, and perhaps in our work day as well, we're conscious of being God's disciple. But what about when he asks us to go where our faith is without borders? And perhaps that's the challenge I'd like you to think about today. What does it look like to go where your faith, your trust is without borders? To help us think about this, I want us to think about Joshua and some of that reading that we had this morning. I'm sure Joshua is somebody who, from even our childhood, we've heard about his life. In that first chapter, as we looked at it, really that is a calling on Joshua's life. You see, Joshua had been with Moses in the wilderness, and for 40 years, these people had been going round in circles in the wilderness, in the desert. And God had provided for them every day. Do you remember what he does? He gives them manna to eat and water, just enough for that one day. But God has provided for them. They've also received the Ten Commandments. And so there's lots of different things that this big body of people have a knowledge about God and God's provision. When Joshua calls him, he's very precise. I want you to take this group of people through the river, through to Jericho. And that is his immediate calling. And then in those verses, in those very early verses, what we have recorded is God says to Joshua 6 times, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you and he will go wherever you go. So this reassurance keeps coming into Joshua's life. And as God speaks to him and gives him this assurance, he also says to Joshua, meditate on my word. Look at what I've already told you and taught you about God, about himself, and remember those things before you take on this task. So this task is to get the people from one side of the riverbank to the other side of the riverbank. And to understand that, I decided to really look into what happens with the River Jordan at that time, because there's a little line in that scripture reading that Peter read that actually says it was the harvest time and the time of floods. Now, in the UK, we kind of become a bit familiar with rivers that flood, haven't we? And how difficult that can be. I don't think we've had any floods in Birmingham in the last 3 years. I think the canals are pretty well stable. Is that not right? But we know that in some of our major cities and towns, there's been extensive flooding. So what does it look like for the Jordan? And I want you to think that all of this host of people who Joshua has come out to them and said, in 3 days' time, we're going to cross this river. So what is it they're going to cross? Now, what I've learned about the River Jordan is, most of the year, the River Jordan is a slow-flowing river. It had, in the time of Joshua, it had 60 points where there was a ford. So a ford is a place that is raised up so you could easily walk across the River Jordan in those days. And at its deepest points, most of the year, it's between 3 and 6 foot deep. Now, if you think about this big host of people with all that they have, from the very elderly to the young, perhaps that's doable. Would you agree? However, here we are. We're in the harvest time. The water in the harvest time comes from the mountains down past Jericho at a really fast rate. So fast, it breaks its banks. Now, the River Jordan actually has its own natural river defences. And so there's an area which they call the Zor, which is a flood defence. So when it breaks its banks, the water distributes across. And any good flood defence has a side to it, doesn't it? So this has got very steep edges coming up to contain the river. The river now is 150 foot wide. Okay, that's a long expanse of water. Not only that, it's between 10 and 20 foot deep. So if you're one of these people on this side of the water, knowing that you've got this raging river, and Joshua's saying to you, don't be afraid, the Lord your God is with you, and we're going to go through this river, because God has said he's going to protect us, and we're going to get across to the other side. More than that, not one of you are going to have a wet foot. Now then, if you're in that host of people, how's your faith? Who wants to put the hand up and say, I'll be the first person to step in that water? Because actually what God has said to him as well is, I'm not going to stop the water from flowing until the first person's foot is in the water. The Ark of the Covenant is going to go first. And so who would be at the front? Who wants to carry and be the front person taking the Ark into the middle of this water? I have to say, I don't think I put my hand up. If you were thinking about being in this big host of people and you've now been put into 12 tribes, do you want to be the first tribe? Do you want to be the last tribe? Or do you want to be somewhere in the middle? I think I'd want to see what happens first, wouldn't you? Just checking on your faith. So anyway, what Joshua does is he says to this host of people, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow God is going to do amazing things that you wouldn't believe. Now, if that's the message that God is giving to us today, what does that mean? If God says, consecrate yourself today, because tomorrow I'm going to do incredible things through your life, what is it that you stand on the edge of Jordan for? What brings you to the edge and you think, you know, God actually is saying, what about you do this? What about you do that? What about you get involved in this area of ministry? What about this? And you're thinking, do you know what? There's a big river there. I'm not crossing that. So what God does is he says to Joshua, take the people, take the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant first, and then all the people across the river? Well, quite simply, the first person who comes down that slope and steps in the water, as soon as he touches the water, God pulls back the river and it becomes, can you imagine it? This huge wall of water. And the people step down onto this, cross that 150 foot, and not one of them gets wet. They go in an orderly fashion, they pass the Ark of the Covenant, which is right in the centre of the river. Now, when they're all over the other side, I think they'd want to have a party, don't you? They've crossed that river. They've got to the promised land. The battle's not over yet. If you read the rest of Joshua, you'll realise that this is just the first step. But not only that, there's 12 tribes. And so what God says to him is now, get one man, I'm glad it's a man actually, but there you go. Get one man from each of those tribes and ask him to go back into the centre and in front where the Ark of the Covenant is, to bend down, to pick up a stone and take it back. And what they do then is they build an altar. And what Joshua says is, God has wanted us to do this so that we have an altar that we will never forget for generations to come what has happened this day. This is an absolute miracle, don't you think? Look at the faith of the people who've taken that step and have carried that out. And so he wants an altar to remind the people of God's faithfulness and his goodness to them. You might be thinking to yourself, isn't it great that all these years ago, in Old Testament days, God did all of these miracles? Now, what about the miracles today? Do we still see miracles today? Well, actually, I think we do. We see miracles every time a life is connected with God in such a way that their lives are transformed. And I believe that happens today. I believe it's about doing things not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit power at work in our lives means that we can be vessels for him and we can impact this world wherever we are. But I think that God used the water as a significant thing in those days. You see, you've got the group of people, the Israelites, who are trying to worship God, one God, and actually around them is the people who have no understanding of God as one God, and they have many gods, and they worship Baal. And in the worship of Baal, one of the main elements that they worship is water. So what God does is says, you have altars and you worship water, but hey, I have got the power over water. And so with this group of people, they've got a history. The Red Sea, water in the desert, and now this opening up of this river. I wonder today if you feel that you have any rivers that you feel are uncrossable. Do you have any points that you think that's just an ask too far? Now that can be in those very big things, but actually God works miracles even in the small things in our lives. So if that's a river because of a broken relationship, you know, and it might be about us saying, I'll take a step of faith to walk towards somebody in my family or my friends or in some kind of link in my church, whatever, and say, can we just talk about this? Can we look for some healing? Because actually that's where God brings the miracle. It might be that it's, as I said before, that step of faith to be able to step out in ministry. We have talked about Salvation Army officership today, and I don't apologise for saying it might be that. It might be that God is calling you to do something within this church or calling you to do something in some area of influence that you have. I would just ask you today, don't be afraid, be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you and he will go with you everywhere you go. It's God's Holy Spirit that equips us. And I pray that we allow his Holy Spirit not only to talk to our hearts, but to fill us and empower us so that we can be brave and courageous for him. You know, you think about these people over here who were waiting to cross that river. Perhaps they felt that weakness. But actually, the Holy Spirit comes and ministers to us just at the right time. And it might be that in your heart, you just want to say, do you know what? I want to have the faith to take the next step for me. It might be that your step of faith means that you need to come forward and kneel or stand or sit at our place of prayer. Whatever response God is asking for you, remember that when we consecrate ourselves today, he's going to do wonderful things with us in the future. We just need to be available. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those everlasting arms of love and your Holy Spirit that leads us every day. Help us to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. Amen. Amen.